All right, everybody, who's ready to get started? I want to ask a question across the board here, just getting started in a midweek service. How many people in here would be honest enough to say that there's something that's kind of bugging you right now, that there's something that's trying to create worry in your life, and that you're just kind of worried about something? Just anything. Look around. Say, yeah. See, hands are up. It's just things you're worried about. Yeah. So the topic that I want to talk about tonight, and I want to bring up, to me, it's probably one of the most important topics we can ever talk about. And the reason why is the way that God packages it in the Word. Now, you know, we know that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, and we know that the root of all worry is fear. And he didn't give us that spirit, but it was a power, love, and a sound mind. So we're not even hardwired to have worry. Do you understand? And so, but what happens when it shows up anyway? Because I still believe God gives us instinctive emotions so that we don't forget that there are troubles abounding us, there are problems abounding us, and we can't just stick our head in the sand and hope everything goes away. So worry can be a constructive thing. Does that make sense? Because it keeps you aware that you need to keep your faith on something. But it should never stop your faith or stop you from moving in faith. Does that make sense to everybody? So the scripture I want to use is the Apostle Paul. I call it the prescription for anxiety. Because Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Don't have anxiety for anything. Nothing. Doesn't matter what you name, what you come up with. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, what does he tell us to do? By prayer and supplication, let your request be known to God. Go talk to God about it, right? And when you do, something happens. There's a peace that surpasses our understanding. See, we have a way of thinking about things, and we understand things a certain way, but we know God's word a lot of time will surpass our own understanding on things, because we understand things one way, but God actually knows. We think we know, but God actually knows. So then what happens is, he gives you a peace. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you the first thing that leaves when you have worry is your peace. I mean, you can't have peace and worry at the same time. It's almost impossible, right? And so what happens is, when you make your request known to God, what that verse is saying is you trust him enough with the problem that God is bigger than your problem. And when God becomes bigger than your problem, it's something that happens supernaturally. There's this peace comes in, and it overthrows your understanding. So the way, whatever way you were looking at it, or however you did the math, or however you saw the problem, however you did the analogy of what was going to happen, what wasn't going to happen, all of a sudden, all of that is no more. All of that is thwarted. All of that is no longer on your mind. And the peace of God then comes in and settles on you. Now, why is this so important? Why is this verse so important? Everybody preaches it. Everybody talks about it. But we don't talk about why it's so important. And the answer is in the same chapter. See, everyone loves to quote Philippians 4:13, but they never tell you why. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many people like that one? Well, yeah, I can do all things. How are you going to do it? Because you ain't going to do it in fear. You're not going to do it if you have anxiety. But assuming that you've already done Philippians 4:6 allows you to be able to accomplish Philippians 4:13. Did you follow me there? So because you didn't have any anxiety, because you took it to God, you trusted God, and you moved in faith, the peace of God came in to support your decision. Now you're walking in faith in a peaceful place. Now you can do all things through Christ. So you can't just take a scripture, I can do all things through Christ. No, you have to get to the place where the scripture's taking you so you can operate and do the thing the scripture's saying that you can do. So you can't just pull that out and say, well, I can just do all things. No, you can't. Not unless you do the rest of what the scripture is telling you to do that's setting up that verse. So I think it's a pretty important topic. How are we going to do the things that Christ wants us to do if we're not doing the first part of the chapter? Fair enough? Understand your assignment? So I've teed it up for you. So it's on the platter. And what we have to do is talk about how do you get past anxiety. It's a very real thing. Doesn't mean that you're just a bad person or, you know, you just have terrible faith if you worry. I don't know anybody that doesn't worry. You just shouldn't keep worrying. See the difference? You shouldn't dwell in a place of anxiety. Everybody's going to have anxiety from time to time. You just don't need to keep it. Just like sickness may come into your body. So nobody's going to fault you or judge you for having sickness in your body. It just has no right to stay there. So I'm not judging you. Nobody's judging you tonight if you have anxiety. We just don't think it has a right to stay there. Especially when God has given us a way out of anxiety. Fair enough? Okay, so with the scriptures, we're going to follow forward, fast forward. We're going to move out of anxiety and into the things that we can do through the power of Christ. But how do you get to that place? So, you know, us and the panel, we want to talk about real life events where we were in a place and we had anxiety hit us and we had to move out of that place so we could get to the place to do the thing that Christ told us we could do. Fair enough? Who wants to open it up? Somebody grab the
mic. There was a time. Is it on? There was a time that I was afraid to ride in the car. I had so much fear about somebody coming and hitting me on my right side. So I would get to where I would see a stop sign and I would go, and Sam would say to me, you're gonna have to stop sucking up air. You need to call on Jesus. I said, I know I need to call on Jesus, and Jesus is helping me. But I am telling you, I am jacked up right now. And I stayed jacked up for a long time because I had been hit twice. People ran stop signs, hit me. One turned over my Jeep. Actually, it was Sam's Jeep. And the guy hit me, and he said, did I hit you? I said, you hit me. And he had run the stop sign. So we had to settle that. And then another one was speeding. I was bringing the kids out here to do Christmas play practice. Another person hit me. It's like, oh, my goodness. And what happened after that, we went to the mountains. And we were in our car, and it put me too close to where I could see everything on the sides. And you're talking about messed up? Oh, my goodness, Ella J, that's where we went. Yeah, beautiful up there. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful, all right, but let me tell you something. Whew, I was so, when I tell you I was messed up, and then on the way back from Ella J, a truck had a wreck, and we were stuck on the interstate for hours. On 85, we stayed on 85 for hours, and I would look on the side, and all I could see was straight down. This is after Ella J. So it just made my anxiety worse. So I had to start calling on Jesus for myself. I would tell people, pray for me. I'm about to go on a trip. I can't do this. Because to leave here and go to Atlanta, all I did I said, okay, somebody just need to give me some drugs. Just let me take some melatonin. Let me take something else. And I get ready to take something one day. Sam said, you are not taking that. I was so upset with him. I said, I need to take this and just put on my sunglasses and go to sleep because I cannot make this ride. I'm just here to tell you. I had to get on my face before God. And I had other people praying for me because I would say, because I remember saying to Lisa, I said, Lisa, I'm about to go on a trip. You got to pray for me. I can't take this trip. She said, no, Mom, I'm going to pray for you. And she did. And I stayed on my face and I kept quoting the scriptures and talking to Jesus and asking him to help me because he had not given me a spirit of fear. But I had gone and gotten one. Do you hear me? I found fear and I was messed up. And guess what he did after I just hung in there with him? Because he hung in there with me. But he relieved, it was just like when sickness left me. One day it's like the Holy Spirit kicked in. And I said, oh, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. Thank you, Jesus. So that's how I overcame my fear, by staying in the Word, quoting the scriptures, asking for prayer. So then I stopped sucking wind at every stop sign.
I remember early on in our marriage, we were in a contract with a guy, and it's a pretty thick contract, and he claimed that we didn't fulfill our part of the deal, and so there were threats coming our way, and so I began to meditate on what he said rather than what the Word said. That was early on in our Christian walk, too, so I remember Pastor David said, faith began where the Word of God is known. Never forget that. And I know that Hosea 4:6 said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So you have all this stuff coming at you, and it affected me so that it made me nervous. I couldn't perform on my job like I should. Couldn't eat properly. I know you don't believe that. But it did affect me in a negative way because I was meditating on what he said. And so it affected me in a negative way. But when I began to, my wife and I, we touched and agreed and we wasn't at this church at the time. But the Word of God came alive. And you're talking about experiencing anxiety and fear, and you go to bed with that, you get up thinking about those very words that were spoken to me. And what I realized, the time had passed that he said this and that and the other would take place. I didn't even realize it had passed. And then it dawned on me, that's over. Because what I had begun to do is to start meditating on the scriptures, the promises. All the promises in God are yes and amen to the honor and glory of God. And then, you know, those threats never did come to pass. Whenever you fail, I learned something. Whenever you fail in something, the tragedy is that you don't learn from it. But I learned from that. And I realized that I had the keys. He gave us the keys, and I began to use my keys from that day forward. And I began to open up doors that was for me. So that's how I dealt with that.
So I'm going to take it back a little bit further in my life. You know, if you all don't know about, there is a freedom class here that you probably really want to go to. A lot of things that became apparent to me during freedom class. And my mother was a compulsive giver. That means that her need in her life was to give everything to her children, no matter what it was, so that she felt that she was always needed by always taking care of our needs. And so as I as I start to grow up and I start to have a life or trying to go out on a life of my own, I began to be a compulsive taker. That means everybody had to give like my mother gave, right? So all of mine was that, hey, if you really love me or you really want to be with me or you really want to do this, guess what? You would do things for me. So I was taking emotionally and being manipulative in doing so. And so a lot of my relationships, and we talked about that when we talked about some of the seducing spirits that, you know, that we have to overcome and that we have to see. And so as I am coming up in my life, I end up being a product of different relationships that were just already broken. And guess what? They were broken before they started, because guess what? I didn't know where I stood even as an individual, because I grew up in a household where my mother was giving me everything, and she was more inclined to our needs than it is for her own, right? And so as we start coming to these relationships, as we start getting older, I start noticing that I couldn't find a relationship that would actually work. It didn't matter who the person was. Relationships didn't work. And so now I became a product of a divorce, and I have children. And so when I met the love of my life, Erica, I was so anxious and nervous about messing it up again, because it's never worked before. And in my life, I was standoffish to a point, because I knew that if we got so far in a relationship, what was going to happen? The same thing that's been happening over and over again. So even though I wasn't vocal or communicating this, in myself, I had built up an amount of anxiety that was just turning knots in my stomach. Even to the point where I was just like, well, you know what? I think it's probably going to be better just to break this off, just to stop the relationship. And a young man at the time, he's older than me, but I always call him a young man because he saw me kind of going through this. And he actually, you know, he kind of helped me in thinking about applying my life to what I already knew through the Word of God and actually applying it to all situations. And he started giving me scriptures, and he started talking about it, and he starts telling me, listen, there is no way that you could do any relationship without God. And at first it was just like, man, I've done plenty of relationships without God. And then he said, how'd that work out? And I was like, you got a point, you know? And so as we start really, you know, getting into it, and of course he knew Erica because we were all three in the military, and he's like, you have something good that you're going to destroy, because you are now trying to lead a relationship out of trying to take and manipulate emotions and having it on your scale and on your way. And as we start to, you know, get closer and closer together, the thing that we start talking about, and I've said it before, was we start talking about where we stand in our relationship with God. And privately, I start taking a inventory of where I was and how I got to where I was. And as I started going and I talked to this young man, and we would have our conversations at work together, he started showing me in the Word of God where I was more than what I thought I was. And I had substituted the things that my mother was giving me for what God should have been giving me in the first place. And as he started doing that, I started looking into myself, and I started listening to the ministers online, and we started going to a church up there. And as I started going to this church, I started seeing that God had more for me than I even knew that I had. He had already had a plan for me that I didn't even know he had. He had already said, because the first thing that we find out is that, listen, it's not good for man to be alone. And God knew the desires of my heart. He knew I wanted a wife, but I didn't know how to have one. So I was a ball of nerves. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know whether I should be giving. I didn't know whether I should, you know, give gifts or should I withhold them. And I was super anxious about everything. And Erica, being the person she is, she was just always open to, it's on your time. And she took just the time of me, and she showed me a love that only could come from God. And it began to walk out in my life that I didn't have to continue to be so anxious about a simple relationship, because we tied it, those bonds of two, with another, and that is with God. And our entire relationship, as we started, I said before, came with us getting together, coming from a deployment, getting together and getting our lives back into church, where we could actually start being established. And we end up getting established more together, which actually, even as we start year after year and day after day, starts taking the pressure off us, because we started getting back into the Word of God. And like we hear our pastors always say, it was like, what word are you standing on? And greater is He that was within me. And as I start getting my life together, I start slowly shedding off anxieties, those things that were in me that were keeping me from where God wanted me to be in the first place. And so as I slowly start going through the Word and going through the Word, we start finding out the Word is what actually bonded us together, because I wasn't waiting for her to make me complete. I turned all of that over to God and gave that anxiety to Him, and I let God make me complete and not someone else.
I think I want to say something. Do we got me here? Here, there I am. Now I'm on. I want to say something here. I've never told this, and I didn't even realize until I was over here that I never really told this. But the day I signed my, not this part I told, but the part I'm going to tell at the end, I've not told. The day I signed the book deal for Stop the Pain, which was a book that I always said if they'd read my first book and followed, they wouldn't need the second book. But it was going to save many lives. I had no idea how many lives this book was actually going to save. But the day I signed the contract that I would write the book was the day my son got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. I don't know if you've ever been in a household when the son that you love the most in your life gets a death sentence pronounced over him. I don't know if anybody's ever had that privilege. But I can tell you right now, I don't care how set you are in your faith. I don't care how well you know the Word of God. I don't care how well you're living it. It'll rock your world. And it rocked mine. I'm no different. So I had to make a choice. So at that moment, immediately, I got in faith. And I started looking at what I could do, what are the things I know to do, and, you know, what did you train me? I guess I've trained my whole life for this, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I started treating my own son. Why? Because people fly in from all over the world to see me, and we've been able to lead them to all kinds of healings. We've saved so many lives, there's no way to count it. And so, surely, Lord, this is you know, going to be you, and, you know, I'm writing a book for the world, so boom. Start treating my son. Shrunk the tumor in half, first year. Shrunk it in half, less than half. Problem was, I couldn't get it out of the lymph system. Stayed in that lymph. And that means at any moment it could be released in through his whole system, and then it starts going awry. Okay? So, to top it all off, not only am I worried, I'm like, okay, now I can't, now what am I going to do? I start taking him to different places. I do the Tyson medicine, and nobody can give me a percentage of, because they can't say, well, yeah, I'll give you 50%, I'll give you 60%, I'll give you, couldn't give me any percent because none of them had success with it. I took you to Mexico, called Germany, called all the, you know, clinics that I know around the world that are supposed to be stellar. You think I had anxiety? I did. I can't lie and say I didn't have. Did I have faith? Yeah, but was I in anxiety? Sure was. I'd lay many nights trying to think it over. I read through journals. I studied everything I could study that I'd already studied. I mean, what do you do? Then to top it all off, I get a call on the line from TBN, a letter where someone was watching me one night, turned on the television, had stage 4, advanced, very advanced Hodgkin's lymphoma, listened to my talk on TV and did everything I said, and they were 100% healed. But I, in the same house, hands-on, I'm treating my son, and I can't fix it. I don't know what it is about God, but he always seems to take me to a mountain when he needs to speak to me. I can tell you time after time, I don't know what it is about mountains and hills, but he seems to take me to a mountain. So out of the blue, my son, I want a path, I don't want a path. He's throwing up, he's worse, he's got the fever and chills, he's worse than he's ever been. He's turning 4 different colors that are not healthy. Matt Crouch calls me and asks me if I can come to Israel. I said, wow. So I had to make a decision. So there was nothing I could do here. And I'm being called by God to go somewhere else where I can make a difference. So I had to make a trust decision at that point in my life to do something that I didn't want to do, and that was leave my son to go and follow God. So for that week, I left. And I didn't know, but where their mountain is, they're on the mountain. You're looking over and you see the other mountains. And I see the mountain of faith right from my terrace where Abraham walked up and put Isaac on the altar and was going to kill him. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at that mountain. Then I look over here and I look where Jesus, when he comes back, he's going to put his foot down right over here. And I'm staring at this mountain. Looking at this mountain. Faith. I'm looking at this mountain where my future of victory is. And guess what the name of the mountain is that I'm on? Grace. What do you do with that? So I go into the studio because I just Christine, anybody know Christine Kane? She was. My interview wasn't till the next day, and I thought, well, I want to go sit in on a couple of the interviews till my interview comes, because we were going to do filming while I was out there. So I go sit on the set, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm watching her. I've heard Christine speak so many times. Out of nowhere, she starts giving a testimony that she's never given before. And it starts out by saying, I was diagnosed with life-threatening cancer. That's how it started out. You ever been somewhere and know you're there and it's not by an accident or by chance that you know somehow you made a right decision? And she began to talk about what her steps were and how her mindset and how she walked through and how God delivered her from cancer. And so I'm back at my room, I'm by myself and I'm praying, and I walk out on my terrace and I'm looking at these three mountains and I said, I don't know how you make all this connect, God, but I'm going to tell you, I wish I could tell you I felt better, but I don't. I don't want to have to worry. I want to know. And I want to know why I can't fix my son. Why can't? And I'm saying, Lord, I've done everything. And this is the part I've never told before, but I need to tell it. The Lord says, Scott, you're making this about you. He said, all I've heard in your prayers, what can you do? Yeah. And he said, I'm going to heal your son. But he said, you're not going to get the praise for it. I am. And I called Nisa. I didn't tell her that part of the story because I felt that that time it was between me and God. I said, the Lord's going to heal our son. I said, I just heard a testimony from Christine Kane. I've already seen the mountains, and I was telling her the whole experience. And I said, the Lord's going to heal our son. Anxiety left me. And I can honestly say, Mafate, I never worried another moment. No matter what we did, I never had another moment fear from that moment forward. Now, why did I tell you that story? I know the word. I've walked in places where, you know, I've seen demons slither across. I've cast them. I've been through all, we can do this all day long. I've been in some of the top places in the world with, you know, people speaking, whoop-dee-doo. What it came down to was I was in pride over something. And I was in pride for the right reason, but I was still in pride. And what I was saying was, God, what can you do through me instead of God, what are you going to do? You're not always going to fix your situation. I'm talking to somebody right now. And until you quit trying to fix it, it ain't going to fix. I don't know who that's helping right now, but that's for somebody in here tonight. And for the first time, you got to understand. My father, he died because he took a medication he shouldn't have taken. And he got attacked in his health. So, of course, that was my fault, I felt. My mother died from Alzheimer's. So, of course, that had to be my fault because I couldn't fix it. Do you understand where I've been? And now it's my son. Do you understand? And so I'm telling somebody right now, God sometimes is going to say, you're going to sit this one out. And now you're going to see who God is, because you're not going to have a hand in it. Because if you do, you're always going to think about what you're doing and what you can do and what you can do in your own strength. Yeah, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but sometimes you got to get out of the way so God can do what he needs to do. My whole family's never heard that. I've never told that. And the Lord just brought that up. So I needed to tell you that today. So I hope that helps somebody. Because that's a highlight reel right out of my own life. And that happened. And as you can see, my son is healed. He's whole. And he's 100% right now. Serving God.
When I started working, I was hired to work at the hospital, but I hadn't met my my nursing head nurse as yet. So I walked upstairs like I was told, and when I walked upstairs, there was a lot of people moving around and on the floor, and I was wondering what was going on, and she said to me, well, we have a code, and this is what you're coming into the real life. And I thought, right there I started being afraid. I was so fearful, I felt like just leaving. I said, well, I guess I could leave, I'm telling myself, but I decided to wait for her. She asked me to, and I waited until the code was finished, and I went to the office and talked to her. And the next day I got to work, she assigned me a preceptor, which teaches you, you know, the ropes on the floor and all, and I was like, the preceptor was very knowledgeable, very smart, wise woman, but I was intimidated, because she knew so much, and I knew at that point nothing, really. Even though I was new on the floor, I was expecting a lot of myself even before I started working. So while she was running around on the floor day after day after day, her feet, all I could see was her feet moving, just going, going, going. I thought, I cannot do this. So I would get in the car in the afternoon after I got off work, and I would literally cry going home. I said, God, I can't do this. I just can't do this. It's too much. It's too hard. But every day, I would pray in the Spirit going home. I had just come to this church, just started this church. I'd learned from Pastor David how to pray and how to guide your prayers and let the Lord lead you. Even though I was doing that, I was still not following the prescription that was given, seriously. So I was every day, I'd go back to work, and every day she would do the same thing over and over again. And one day there was I was at the desk standing up, and there was a code call, code blue, and I ran to the room, and she said, "You ready?" And I said, "No." So she put me to do chest compressions. I thought, God help me. So I'm just as nervous as can be, and I just felt I was just couldn't do it. I just felt I was just insignificant. Even though I was doing the job, I kept feeling, because the enemy was telling me, you can't do this. So one day, we're just running around and running around, and just she was running around, I'm running behind her, and she started singing the song, "One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you." And I thought, why is Kim singing that song in the midst of all this going on? Stop singing that song, I'm saying to myself. So do your work. I'm thinking to myself, she's singing in the midst of all this busyness. Well, I got in the car going home that afternoon. And the Lord started talking to me like he would do every day. He said, she was singing that song for you. I have to sing that for you. You could only do this one day at a time if you trust me. You got to trust me. Use your faith. And every day, one day at a time, you're going to start seeing a difference. And I was like, oh, my God. The moment he told me that, see, God and I had conversations, seriously, every day going home. Because it was like one thing after another. You were working in the hospital, you know something was happening all the time. So I started getting my scriptures out and saying my scriptures even more and praying in the Holy Spirit even more. And the more I prayed, the more I saw God's hand move. I would see things happening that I could handle. And I wasn't afraid anymore. I wasn't this nervous big ball like I was in the past, even though I had been through so much. But I thank God that by trusting him and listening to the Holy Spirit, I made it. I made it because I trusted God.
Years ago, I started a business in Enterprise. It was a successful business. I come from meager beginnings, very meager beginnings. And I thought at some point I'd arrived. The business was successful. I was making money, had respect, drove a good car, all that. And one day, after we converted the business to a corporation, the partners got together and voted me out of the corporation. And I came face to face with myself. And I realized I had wrapped my whole identity into that business. That's how I identified myself with the business. It was how I proved my success. So it was so devastating to me that I felt like I was having a nervous breakdown. And to remember it, I went into a room and put my face in my hands, and I was devastated. And I realized that I did not know how to trust God. I trusted my efforts. I gave it everything I had. I did my best, and I trusted my own efforts, like some of you. And I thought that if I prayed and if I worshiped and if I fasted, things would change. I prayed, I fasted, I cried, I groveled, I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I put a blanket over my head, I prayed on my stomach, prayed on my knees, all that. Still nothing happened. One day I was driving to Pensacola and I was praying and I was crying and I was trying to build myself back up, and because I had responsibilities, I had a family. And I heard the Lord say to me, "I'll make your feet like hinds' feet and make you to walk on your high places." I had no idea it was in the scripture at all. Had never seen it anywhere. And so I got happy, drove down, came back up. And so I was waiting for my feet to be made like hinds' feet so I could walk on my high places. My high places was I had a mortgage, I had bills, I had things I needed to take care of, and it didn't happen. And so in the process, I grovel around trying to find a solution. You know, that scripture in Philippians 4, it talks about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Paul was talking about when things are good, I'm good. When things are bad, I'm good. That's not a place you just enter into. It's not a place you just wake up and you're there. And so in my search for a solution, I came face to face with me and I understood what I needed, but I still couldn't fix it. God fixed it in my search. It was a lifestyle. I had to come to grips with the fact that I couldn't change the situation, like Bishop was looking at. I couldn't change the situation. So I did what was in front of me, and I coined a phrase, I'm gonna do what's in front of me. And then I'm gonna maintain who I am as I'm doing that. Yeah, my prayer life changed through this thing. My study life changed. My ministry life changed because I tried to minister to everybody I saw. I took my eyes off of me, and I put my eyes on other people. And eventually, things leveled out. But the one thing that happened that I can say is the fix is I had to do what James says in the first chapter of James. I had to see myself in the mirror. And then I had to see myself in the reflection of Jesus Christ. And I had to learn how to trust him opposed to trusting my efforts.
That's a lot to take in one night, isn't it? Yeah. So I want to ask, because we have a little bit of extra time here today, is there someone here who feels like they're bound right now by anxiety? Is there anyone? Do you feel like it's just got you bound up? Yeah. I want you to come down. Anybody that feels that, I want you to come down here. I'm going to pray for y'all tonight. That's something on your heart, your mind, and it just won't leave you. You know, you're doing the right things, saying the right things. You feel you're standing in faith. You're putting everything you seed in the ground. I mean, you're doing everything, but it's this thing, and it just won't lift. It won't break off of you. Panel, I want you to come down here. I want you to get the oil. Pass it down. And we're going to do exactly what the Word of God tells us. So come on down here. We're going to let the elders anoint you. Because understand, anxiety is a condition. And the Bible says you can be healed from any condition. And so go ahead, step right on up. Whoever y'all, don't hide in the background. Y'all come right on up. Get you a single file right in front. So we know who you are that needs to pray for, because ain't nobody getting out of here till that old nasty thing is broken off your life. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have people faithful to do it. I can tell you right now, I've stood right where you are many times in my life. If I had not stood where you are, I don't think I would be standing here right now. How many people give testimony? You've been down here before, and if you hadn't been here, you may not be the place you are right now in your life. So what I need you to do is you need, while you're standing there, to come in agreement with the person that's praying for you, because I didn't say, but the Bible said, and God gives us his word, that where two agree is touching anything. I want you to say, my thing, say it, isn't anything. Because where two touch anything, God says. He says, my Father in heaven will bring it to pass. So we're agreeing right now that whatever this thing is, it's going to be a breakthrough, a breakdown, a break over, whatever it needs to do. It may need to bust wide open. I don't know what, but whatever needs to happen is going to happen. And we're going to put prayer, and we're going to put faith on it. We're going to put God's word on it. And you have God's word that this feeling of anxiety is going to lift off of you. Now, tonight it stops. Tonight it ends. I don't even know how it got there. It doesn't matter. Just know it isn't going to stay there. So elders, all y'all ministers, just get down here. Hunter says, y'all come down here. We need y'all to anoint with oil. And we're gonna agree right now Get that oil on your hand. And we're going to go down this line. And we're going to break this anxiety off of your life. Elders, go ahead and begin to lay hands on right now. All of you receiving, I want you to close your eyes, lift your hands up, and I want you to be into agreement with the Lord. And I want you praying. Bring it up on the screen, whatever that thing is. You ain't going to tell anybody, but you just bring it up. It ain't about talking. It's about receiving. It's about receiving. You're not down there to discuss it. Matter of fact, really, you ain't got to say a thing. You just got to receive by faith the prayer that you're agreeing with and know that in just a few moments of agreement, minute contact is made on your life, that it's about to change, it's about to shift. Things are moving, things are happening. Things that are out of your control are in God's control. And now you're going to get out of the way and you're going to relinquish. You're going to give it to Him now. Now that you can't carry it anymore, you can't think about it, can't worry about it, can't put thoughts on it. All you're going to do is speak what God's already said about it. You're not going to try to solve it, not going to try to figure it out. You're going to get out of your head and you're going to get into the mind of Christ. Now the mind of Christ is the Word of God. So the Word of God has already declared, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, that means everything, all things, by prayer and supplication, that you'll let your request be known to God. And when you do that, God gives you His word that there will be a peace that will come and pass your understanding. It will surpass your understanding. And it will guard your heart and your mind. So that means as it's guarding it, it can't get back in there and torment you. It can't get back in there and aggravate you. Can't get back in there and afflict you. Can't get back in there and bring you irritation, aggravation, frustration, all of those actions. It can't happen to you. Now it's done. It's over in Jesus' name. And now you're going to be able to stand in the peace of God and watch God do His thing and bring it to pass right in front of your eyes. You get to see God through grace. You're looking at a mountain. You're looking at faith on one mountain. You're looking at the promise on another. You're trying to get from faith to a promise. And the way you do it is stand on the mountain of grace like I did. And you look at those two mountains knowing that one mountain's leading to another, but it's grace that gets you there. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. All you're doing is trusting, knowing that through God's grace, His grace is sufficient for you. Say, His grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for me, and He will take you to the place you need to be. He'll do the thing you need to do. You can trust God to bring it to pass in Jesus' name. It's done. It's done. It's done in Jesus' name. You got nothing else to worry about. You've got nothing else to have anxiety about. The thing that He said He's going to do, He's already done. Now it's just time. So now you have to stay in the place of peace to know that the thing that you're waiting to do has already been done in faith. And you need to take your mind to the future to look back at your present to pull you to the place of victory. Now you agree with that person right now that's praying for you. You agree. Because it's done. When you leave here tonight, it's done. There's no more torment. No more grief. It's victory in this house right now. What's been done is done. Now you stand up on the inside now. Be who God's called you to be. You do what God's told you to do. You'll be able to hear God's voice clear now. Clarity. Lord, I pray for clarity. Where thoughts wouldn't come into your mind, now you'll have the thoughts of God, thoughts, the higher thoughts. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. You're going to think higher than you've been thinking. You've been thinking too low. You've been in a low place. You're going to a high place right now. You're going to a high place. When you go to a high place, the view changes. You're not down there with the things that were frustrating you. You're looking at them from above, and you're watching God orchestrate the events They're going to lead you to your victory. You'll see people that don't need to be a part of your life anymore. You'll see things that have been happening. You'll see things that you need to do, that you need to change. God will show you things. And then when he shows you the things, you got to do the things that he shows you. Listen, God's healing some folks right now, right now. This is over. This is done. Sure as I'm standing here, I'm telling you, there are people that are being delivered from their anxiety right now. It's gone. No more. Lord, tomorrow people are going to say, what happened to you? And all you're going to be able to say is God. God happened. That's what happened. God happened. Power of God has changed your life. Why? Because once you get to that place, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now you can fulfill that promise because you are where he said you need to be. You're not anxious about anything. You've already prayed and you've supplicated to him. Now that peace is past your understanding. Your heart is guarded. Your mind is guarded. You have perfect peace. You're in the place you need to be. Enjoy the place where God has taken you, where he's placed you. You're standing on the mountain of grace now. Realize where you are. Realize it was never about you, that it's always been about him. He is bigger than your problem. He'll fix what's too big for you to address. He already knows. He knew before you knew. He already had a fix in place before you even knew it needed fixed. That's right. You want to thank him, you go right ahead and thank him. I think you should. I think you ought to bless him. I think you ought to tell him thank you. I know I have. I tell him every day of my life, God, I thank you. I bless you. I love you, Lord. There's nothing more important in my life than you. God, I might mess up every day, but I'll tell you right now, I'm going to repent to you every moment of my life until I get it fixed. I'm going to trust your word when I can't trust anything else. I don't care what naysayers say. I have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying only. I only hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Only. Can't trust those other voices. Can't listen to that. Can't hear that. I know who God is. I trust who God is. God is faithful to watch over his word, to hasten it. Every person, no respecter of person. Every person gets the same deal. Trust. It's all built around trust. Somebody say, God, you've got this. Just say it. Say, God, you've got it. Man. Some of y'all gonna sleep so good tonight. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do you rest? When you're in perfect peace. You're gonna sleep so deep tonight, they're gonna be shaking you in the morning to make sure you're still alive. You're gonna sleep so deep. Rest in him. Word of God, Jeremiah says, rest in him. There is a rest for the body of Christ. Rest in the peace and the assurance of God. Yeah. Wow. I'm just watching God work and discerning what he's doing in here. It's overwhelming. It's actually overwhelming what God's doing here tonight. Aren't you glad you came to church on a midweek service? Praise the Lord. And we didn't even need internet to have a move of God. Imagine that. Praise God. Well, somebody say thank you, Lord. Everybody stand to your feet in this house. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be appreciative for. So much to be grateful for. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by your goodness. We're going to dismiss with an offering. It's our chance to show God really how much we love him and how much we trust him. This is our time. If anybody needs an envelope, just raise your hand. An usher will bring you an envelope. There's one over there. Anybody needs one, just raise your hand. Giving on the screen tells you every way you can give. We try to make it as convenient as we can for you. Hey, buddy. Let's hold up our offerings. I'm going to pray. Everyone, Father, I thank you for the ability that we to give us the seed we hold in our hand. Lord, life-changing seed, because what we hold in our hand is trust. We're saying we trust you. So just one more token that we're putting our faith in you for all of our needs to be met in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, bring your offerings forward this time. Hug a few people on the way out. Tell them you love them. God bless you. Share your testimony with as many people as you can. We'll see you on Sunday morning. Please make sure you bring somebody to church. On the way home, be thinking, who can I bring to church? Who can I invite to church? Tomorrow, be thinking, who can I invite to church? Okay? God bless you, everybody.